Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, February 21st, is the feast of St. Peter Damian, Camaldoli's monk, cardinal, and doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. At the Vatican, Pope Francis opens the meeting on the protection of minors in the Church. Participants in the meeting hear from survivors of clerical abuse from around the world. And the first interventions at the meeting focus on the theme of the first day for the meeting, responsibility. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. The four-day protection of minors in the Church meeting began today in the Vatican. Pope Francis called together the presidents of the bishops' conferences from around the world to discuss the Church's responsibility in confronting the issue of clerical sexual abuse. The summit aims at examining procedures to be put in place to create accountability and transparency in the Church. On Thursday morning, Pope Francis opened the meeting in the Vatican, telling the bishops and religious gathered there, "The holy people of God look to us and expect from us not simple and predictable condemnations, but for concrete and effective measures to be established." Lydia O'Kane tells us more.
The protection of minors in the Church meeting began on Thursday with prayers, readings, and brief periods of silent reflection before Pope Francis gave his opening remarks in the Vatican's Synod Hall. In front of the patriarchs, cardinals, archbishops, bishops, religious superiors, and other leaders, the Pope told them that in the face of the plague of sexual abuse perpetrated by men of the Church against children, he had called them together so we may listen to the Holy Spirit and with docility to his guidance we may hear the cry of the little ones who ask for justice.
Ascoltiamo il grido dei piccoli che chiedono giustizia.
He told those gathered that this meeting was weighed down by the weight of pastoral and ecclesial responsibility, which obliges us to discuss together in a synodal, sincere and profound way how to deal with this evil which afflicts the Church and humanity. Pope Francis noted that the holy people of God look to us and expect from us not simple and predictable condemnations, but concrete and effective measures to be prepared.
E attende da noi non semplici e scontate condanne, ma misure concrete ed efficaci da predisporre.
Let us therefore, he commented, begin our journey armed with faith and the spirit of maximum frankness, courage and concreteness. As a help, the Pope said he wanted to share with them some important criteria formulated by the various commissions and episcopal conferences. They are guidelines to help our reflection, which will be handed over to you. They are a simple starting point which comes from you and returns to you and does not take away from the creativity that must be present in this meeting. Concluding his remarks, Pope Francis thanked the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and the members of the Organising Committee for their excellent work done with great commitment in preparing this meeting. Finally, he asked the Holy Spirit to support all those gathered in the Synod Hall in these days and to help us transform this evil into an opportunity for awareness and purification. May the Virgin Mary, he said, enlighten us to try to heal the serious wounds that the scandal of paedophilia has caused both to children and to believers. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The meeting for the protection of minors began today with testimonies from survivors of clerical sexual abuse. Participants heard testimonies from four men and one woman, a young South American man, a woman from Africa, a religious priest from Eastern Europe, a man from the United States, and a man from Asia. The participants are due to hear the final testimony of this first day of the meeting from a second young man from Asia during the closing prayer taking place later this evening. Francesca Merloa tells us now about the story of the victims and about their witness.
Five testimonies from survivors of clerical sexual abuse from across the globe were heard on Thursday during the opening of the meeting on the protection of minors in the Church. The first came from a man from Chile, and although he was asked to talk about the pain that comes from sexual abuse, he chose not to, because, he says, everyone knows that sexual abuse leaves tremendous consequences for everyone. Instead, he continued, I would like to speak about myself as a Catholic. He began by saying that for a Catholic, the most difficult thing is to speak about sexual abuse. The first thing he thought to do at the time was to go tell everything to the Holy Mother Church, where he believed they would listen to and respect him. The first thing they did, he said, was treat me as a liar, turn their backs and tell me that I, and others, were enemies of the Church. He said he is aware that the Church is discussing how to end this phenomenon and how to remedy all of this evil. First of all, he said, forced forgiveness does not work. Victims need to be believed. It is you, he said to the bishops, who need to repair what has been done to the victims. You are the physicians of the soul, and yet, with rare exceptions, you have been transformed in some cases into murderers of the soul, into murderers of the faith. His final plea was to those who are impeding the restoration of trust in the Church. He asked that those who want to continue to cover up leave the Church, in order to give way to a new Church absolutely free from sexual abuse. The second video testimony came from a lady from Africa, who answered the question, "What hurt you most in life?" by saying, "From the age of 15, I had sexual relations with a priest. This lasted for 13 years. She told of how she got pregnant 3 times, and of how the priest made her have an abortion 3 times. The survivor spoke of the beatings she would receive when she refused to have sex with him. She was completely dependent on him economically, and that, she said, was the condition. Her message to the bishops is one of love. She said when a person loves someone, they think of their future, of their good. Priests and religious, she says, have a way of helping and at the same time also destroying. They have to behave like leaders, she said, like wise people. All of the survivors who appeared on video asked the Church to learn to listen. The religious priest from Eastern Europe who gave his testimony as a survivor said he is thankful to God and that many of his friends who are priests helped him. However, despite his concerted efforts to reach his bishop, 8 years later, his letter still remains unanswered. It is to these bishops, says a survivor from the United States, that survivors look to for leadership and vision and courage. I'm Francesca Merlo.
At the press briefing on day one of the meeting at the Vatican, the ad interim director of the Vatican press office, Alessandro Gisotti, began by saying, "Responsibility, accountability, and transparency, the three themes of the meeting, need to become part of the Church's DNA." Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
The prefect of the Vatican Dicastery for Communication, Paolo Ruffini, was the first to address the packed press gathering that included journalists from all over the world. He began by providing a summary of the morning's interventions and of the question and answer sessions that followed. According to the moderator, Father Federico Lombardi, the Protection of Minors meeting started on the right foot because it touched all the vital keywords. He identified these as listening, synodality, concreteness, paresia, an ancient Greek word meaning to speak with courage, conversion, and purification. Father Lombardi then referred to the 21 points Pope Francis presented to participants at the start of the morning's deliberation. These points were later referred to as a roadmap for the bishops' discussions, providing them with concrete proposals to help them go forward. Archbishop Scicluna subsequently clarified how these were not to be considered decisions on the part of the Pope, so much as reflections. Among the points that received particular attention is Pope Francis' suggestion to raise the minimum age at which girls can marry from 14 to 16, the same as that for boys, according to canon law. Archbishop Scicluna began his intervention by expressing how moved he was by listening to the testimonies of the victims and survivors at the start of the meeting in the Synod Hall. More than once, he stressed the importance of listening, saying it's like being on sacred ground, listening to victims, but also to his brother bishops, who come from such a wide variety of cultural and geographical realities. Most importantly, Archbishop Scicluna spoke of how vital it is for the Church to move from a culture of silence to a culture of disclosure. We have to face and address misconduct, he said, getting it right from the beginning. The Archbishop of Brisbane, Australia, Mark Coleridge, described the first morning session as a journey of exploration. He spoke of an energy and eagerness by participants to engage with the issue. We listen to God, to survivors, and to each other, he said. Father Hals Zollner is a member of the organizing committee. He began by thanking the survivors and victims for their testimonies, in which he said nothing was spared insofar as they were searing, brutal and honest. Father Zollner said how legal norms and enforcing accountability are not enough unless they're accompanied by what he called heartfelt commitment. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
As mentioned, the morning session began with interventions by Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle and Archbishop Charles Scicluna, focusing on the theme of responsibility. Robin Gomes has more details.
After listening to audio testimonies by sex abuse survivors, the working session got underway with the first intervention delivered by Filipino Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle. Holding up the figure of the risen but wounded Christ, the Archbishop of Manila said pastors need to know and feel the pain of abuse victims and heal them by touching their wounds, not by avoiding them.
Faith is born and reborn only from the wounds of the crucified and risen Christ, seen and touched in the wounds of humankind. How can we profess faith in Christ when we close our eyes to all the wounds inflicted by abuse?
The Filipino cardinal said, if we want to be agents of healing, we have to see and touch the wounds of others, which are Christ's wounds in the wounded people. The denial of wounds and deaths leads to the death of others and our own death, he added. Victims, he said, need to be helped to express their deep hurts and heal them. Perpetrators need to be served justice, helped to face the truth without rationalization, and not neglect their inner world. The second intervention of the morning was by Archbishop Charles Jude Scicluna of Malta. Pledging to protect minors at all cost, he provided the participants with a vast panorama of existing practices, procedures and tools, as well as a pledge to make sure that everything will be done in the church to avoid the crimes and the wounds caused in the past. The adjunct secretary of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith highlighted the fact that pastors have been entrusted with the care of our people. It's our sacred duty to protect our people and to ensure justice when they have been abused.
The faith community under our care should know that we mean business. They should come to know us as friends of their safety and that of their children and youth. We will engage them with candor and humility. We will protect them at all cost. We will lay down our lives for the flocks entrusted to us.
I'm Robin Gomes.
The afternoon session of the meeting featured a presentation by the Archbishop of Bogota, Cardinal Ruben Salazar Gomez, who focused on the responsibility of the bishop to act decisively in all cases of abuse. No justification exists, he said, for not denouncing and forcefully confronting any abuse that presents itself within the church. Thus, he called on those present to never shy away from denouncing and unmasking abuse, and courageously and forcefully confronting any abuse that presents itself within the church. The responsibility of the bishop, Salazar concluded, is very broad and covers many fields, but is always inescapable. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va for all the latest news on the meeting on the protection of minors in the church. Many thanks to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.